All right, welcome everyone. Welcome to week 9. Can you believe it? I probably say this every week. Like, this is one of my favorite topics. You can bust me on it if you hear me say that every single week. I do tend to just, really focus on the week's topic and really get into it, which gets me excited. But I have to say, authentic choices, clear yes and clear no, your body knows the difference, is one of my favorite classes, because this is one piece of knowledge that when I started putting it into practice actually really did change my life. Because clear yes and clear no's are directly related to our connection to our core authenticity, and it really affects our ability to practice self-care, because it's the freedom we get from our automatic programmed shoulds, which are very much in the way. They cause a static, a background static. It's like we're not tuned to our natural station, like the old dials on the radio. If we're not really aligned with our unique vibration, we have all this static running us and making our decisions from, oh, I really should do this, and obligation, and so on. It just brings contractions in the body, and there's a confusion about these shoulds, and they are caused by what we have named gremlins, right, our subconscious keepers that are trying to keep us safe and keep us on track and all of that. And it is there is a natural way of being on track, and there are times where, we will extend ourselves. And it's right to do so, and it's not because of programming. It's because we actually do want to go the extra mile, for someone that we love or whatever, and in times where it's not convenient. And but, of course, women do have this default setting that, especially in modern culture, we're, programmed to take care of our loved ones and to take care of course, small children and middle-aged children and young teenage children. But because we don't have a real coming-of-age ceremony, because all we have are really graduation ceremonies, is our version of that from high school and college and things like that. So it's like parents never really graduate, that's a very heartwarming time, these graduation moments and passages, right? Hello, hi there. I forgot to turn off the doorbell. Hold on a sec, let me do that. Okay. Okay. So now they'll be muted when they come on. And what we're talking about tonight is authentic choices, clear yes and clear no, and really how that feels in your body when the programming's not in the way. And we're just talking about the default that women have as caregivers or caretakers in the function of taking care of the tribe, taking care of each other, taking care of young children and middle-aged children, that this kind of default setting spills over into other relationships and becomes inappropriate. We become the overgivers. And a function of overgiving is sort of incessant worrying, where if you find yourself where you've done everything you can do in the moment that's possible to do, but you're still in a constant, spinning wheels and worrying when there's not the next thing to do. And that's a programming that runs us, and it can absolutely deplete your adrenals. Your adrenals are the overdrive, right? That's like fifth gear in the car. It's only meant, well, it's a higher gear than that, really. But it's only meant to, we're not meant to, overdrive is not meant to be a normal setting throughout the day, and yet our bodies, that's where we go when we worry. And that's where we go when we come to a place where there's not the next thing to do in a situation where we're trying to help someone and we know they need help, and there's only so much we can do in that given day or time period, physically speaking. So then the mind takes over in sort of like this spinning wheel, trying to figure out, you know, what's next, what's next, what's next. So tonight we're going to practice something entirely different than that runaway spinning wheel. We're going to practice resting in the unknown and resting in the mystery and sourcing our clear yeses and clear no. And what I love about this practice is that I love that there is a way to not know really what to do next, or not even know what the answer to the decision is. Is it going to be a yes or a no? You know, am I going to stay or am I going to go? Whatever it is that's spinning in us, there's a way to be with it in a spacious, loving, and curious way that's actually incredibly restful, so that these percolating possibilities can continue to simmer like popcorn simmering, and then they pop when they pop. The clear yes and the clear no are like popcorn popping. Now, sometimes we know way ahead of time we get a yes. And sometimes it's the last minute and it surprises us because we were positive it was a no. You know, I can remember deciding between naturopathic school, chiropractic school, studying homeopathy, looking briefly at, you know, at these different programs in medicine and so on. And I just, you know, was not getting it. I knew it was something that would give me an umbrella to study the body in depth and combine some East-West studies and alternative healing, but I really didn't know what it was. And I remember looking at the catalog for chiropractic school and just gagging, saying, well, that's not it. And I just, like, tossed it into the trash. And then later on, the signal to go to chiropractic school was so strong, it literally was like a knock on the top of my head. It was like, and I didn't know why exactly, except that I had coming to contact with some people in the field who were doing some very alternative and interesting things. And I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll go through all this training if I get to do something like that. And they were energy healers, and they were practicing some very subtle techniques. And I was interested, well, if I could study with them, then maybe I'm interested. So it totally surprised me. That clear yes was so clear when that popcorn popped, it just about knocked me over. And I can't tell you how sure I was that one was a no when I was first looking at the catalog. And so it can and will surprise you. And sometimes, you know, we know kind of right away. And it's just like a soft knowing for something that, you know, is ahead of us. And just, oh yeah, that feels right. And then it can end up to be true. Although it can always, you know, look very different for us by the time we get there. It looks different than we thought. So clear yes, clear no. It's definitely different than probably most of how our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers lived. Because basically, you know, even though our mothers passed down a lot of wisdom, they also passed down to us a real lot of programming. And it's based on these traumatic life experiences, the programming that is stuck or inappropriate and in your way and causes static on your dial as you're tuning to your station, right? Your essence, let's say, is like signal that your body picks up as an instrument. And when you're aligned with that signal, it just feels so right. You can source energy so easily, and your creativity flows. Whatever it is you're doing just feels so on target. And it's like soaring, you know, when you're really on target, doing what you're meant to be doing and what you're designed to do. It's the most wonderful feeling in the world. And it's like an aircraft, or, you know, flying at the right altitude, or if we're going to use a nature symbol, let's say, you know, whatever bird that you identify with. mean, those wings with those amazing feathers developed for those birds to soar from tree to tree, from the ground for feeding, to migrate. I mean, it's astonishing how our equipment, our body, mind, and heart is a perfect instrument every lifetime to do what we're here to do, the gifts that we have and the challenges that we have. It ends up all being a gift if we're in alignment and really tapping in. So looking to our wheel of life, you might have noticed that some areas of your wheel of life have more flow and you have an easier time of accessing choices, decisions, what to do next, and some areas have that friction point, right? And it's the friction points are caused by programming, because even if something is a no, it doesn't have to cause friction. A clear no doesn't cause friction. Isn't that amazing? Byron Katie, who's a wonderful modern spiritual teacher, has written many books. I guess her most famous first book is called Loving What Is. She says a clear no is like a yes to yourself. When you're absolutely certain that you don't really feel moved to do something, perhaps someone's asking you to do something or a choice arises and there's not a yes there. A clear no is very restful. It's like, oh, yeah, that doesn't resonate. Okay, next. You know, there's no conflict. There's no friction point. That's a clear no. And when there's a friction point, that's because we're sort of a little bit in conflict, like, ooh, should I or shouldn't I? You know, would this be a good thing to do? Would it fulfill something that I'm supposed to do or that I should do? Those are always push points, right? And then pulling points are like pulling back, oh, but I really don't want to, you know? So I should do it, but I don't want to do it. That's a glitch in the flow on your wheel of life. That's a friction point caused by programming. So let's take a breath. Let's just come in for a landing right here. Let's make a choice tonight to claim this space as a space of self-care and nurturing. And that while we explore with curiosity what clear yeses feel like, what clear noes feel like, and what programming feels like, that this is an exploration that's going to help us open even more to resting in what's true for us in any moment. So taking a breath deep into the belly, long, slow breath, and then exhale. Let's just take a few slower, deep breaths into our bellies. And whether you're laying down or whether you're sitting up, on the exhale, just sink into the support of the chair, the couch, the bed. One thing you know for sure right now is that you're breathing and you're resting into this support. Your physical body feels supported. And that gives you an emotional sense of being held and supported. Okay, so whatever holding you up right now, know that wherever you are on planet Earth at this moment, some of us are across the globe traveling in different places and spaces, wherever you are, sitting or laying down, Mother Earth is holding you. So let's take our next breath and exhale, and let's rest into her lap, into her beauty. I know it's evening on the East Coast. It's still light here on the West Coast. And either looking out your window or remembering your day, the beauty of nature around you. And let your either imagination or your eyes go directly to something beautiful you experienced today. I'm looking out my window at a bird of paradise opening, flowering at my side door. So let your eyes take it in, or your inner eyes, something from your day, and then breathe it in. Just breathe in whatever quality of beauty that is for you. This mine is a very startling, exotic beauty. It's very poised and elegant and really wakes me up to gaze at a bird of paradise. It's actually several blossoms on this big plant. And let's bring in our other senses. You know, were you cooking something wonderful today? Or I have a cup of tea in front of me. Whatever scent was on the breeze or is there right now in your environment where you are. Breathe it in. Breathe it in and taste it. And then the surface of whatever you're sitting on, resting on, that's holding you, just feel the texture of that surface. Feel its firmness or softness. And the moisture in the air, is it dry or moist? Or and the light source, day or night. I've got the sun before sunset, the late afternoon into evening sun. Just really connect with that light source. All right, just coming into a landing all the way, feel in the deep belly filling as you breathe. Let's do a wave, conscious wave breath, where we're going to, as we fill the belly, rock the pelvis forward, arch the lower back. And we'll just start here, and then as you exhale, you kind of flatten the back a little bit. And exhale. I'm sorry, inhale. Rock the pelvis forward, it comes up a little higher to the solar plexus, and then exhale. And inhaling, rocking forward, this time up to the heart, raising the shoulders, rolling them back and down, and releasing down through the arms and out the hands. Next breath goes up to the throat. And let's release down the arms, out the hands, and also down the legs and out the feet. Really let it drain to the earth, whatever needs to be let go. And we're not swallowing the air as we breathe. We're literally like a bamboo. We're like an open tube. Breath is moving in and out of us, circulating through us. So in your mind's eye and your imagination, imagine that hollow reed or hollow bamboo with the prana, the chi energy source through the air is flowing through you. That way we're bringing energy to our third eye, center of the head, back behind the eyes. And all the way to the top of the head on the next in-breath. You can even reach up with your hands if they're free. And resource that light source and prana, that energy, and then exhale, let it drain all the way through you and out your feet. Let's do that two more times. Reach up, gathering the energy, and then Exhaling, letting it drain down to the earth. And one more. Letting it go, letting it flow. Ah, coming in for a landing. Just let your body relax. If you need to be a little alert, you can always tap your forehead, top of the head, and over the heart with the fingertips of both hands just to keep you awake if it's late for you. Okay, before we get into a little deeper about our choice of self-care, because we're coming into an integration week next week, so we're going to be choosing, I'm going to ask you to choose a self-care practice for that week, something that just lets your mind be open to whatever your body tells you it wants. So rather than trying to figure it out with your mind, oh, I wonder what self-care practice I'm going to choose, we'll be going through a process this evening where your body's going to tell you what self-care practice to choose. Just seeding that right now. But first, I want to go over something with you about the difference between programming and true nature and being in connection with your true nature. One of the principles of this course is when we're in connection with nature, we are in connection with our true nature. That's a very empowered, feminine way of walking in the world, is to be aware of the beauty and the qualities and this beautiful sensuality through the body, that we have these qualities inside us that we see. You know, this exotic, startling, flame-colored, elegant, poised bird of paradise really lifts my spirit. So I'm resonating on those qualities. And that's a reflection of something within me. So it's a reminder of my true nature. So what is it that came to you? Something from the day and the qualities of that. You know, is it grounded like a tree with roots, strength? Is it branching out? Is it steady and still? Is it dynamic like the waves breaking on the rocks? Is it luminous or spacious? Is it wave in the wind with flexibility or flow unconditionally like water? Just some examples of qualities of whatever it is you may have chosen, you know, reflective like a still pond or lake. You are reflective. So you remember, oh my gosh, was it 10 years ago there in Southeast Asia, there was that earthquake under the ocean, and then there was this disastrous tsunami that claimed so many human lives. And it was this a very tragic event. One thing I want to talk about tonight is no wild animals that were fleet of foot or have wings were known to be killed in that experience. As a matter of fact, the Chinese have been doing studies of animal signs prior to earthquakes because it is far, far more accurate and predictable when we learn to look for these signs than any scientific instrument designed so far. Isn't that amazing? They don't know how it happens. They don't know why it happens. But they know that animals have a far greater sensitivity than any scientific instrument. So here are some animal signs. And these are things that I'm going to cite some people who survived in this tsunami who were on the beaches in Thailand. There were some Japanese tourists who were trying to go for their beach walk tour on top of these elephants, you know. And these elephants started trumpeting and crying around 9 a.m. That's right when the earthquake hit. And not only that, but they have been programmed, right, into submission. They have heavy chains around one of their feet that are staked into the ground. They are prodded by sticks by their trainers, right? The trainers, in this case, could be seen as the gremlins, right? You should do this. You shouldn't do that. You know, it's not true to their nature, really, to be doing this, and certainly not to be treated that way to do these things. However, you know, normally they take their tourists for a ride down for these beach walks, and the tourists take pictures, bring their cameras, and then, you know, they do this whole loop. But this morning they refused to go. And not only that, I guess the tourists were already up on top of them, and these were unchained and ready for the walk, and they were restless and trumpeting and crying. Even the ones that were tied up pulled up their stake and their chain, and they all started stampeding uphill. No sticks, dangling chains, nothing could deter them. And the trainers were aghast because this had never happened before. And the tourists were surprised and alarmed. You know, where the heck were they going so fast on a bumpy ride, scary uphill? But not only were they carrying the tourists on their backs, some of the elephants started picking people up in their trunks and carrying them. And what's really remarkable is they came to a stop on the crest of a hilltop. And by this time, the ocean had receded and the big wave had hit and was coming up. And it was, you know, I don't know how many feet below them the waves were cresting. And they had saved their lives, the lives of the tourist, the trainer, and whoever got scooped up in the elephant's trunk. It's an amazing story. This just takes my breath away, that the instinct, true to their nature, something so deep in connection with who they are for millennium, spoke to them deep in their intuition and in their bones that this, they must go uphill. And they were caring enough to, you know, they weren't scraping off the people on their backs and even lifting people up with their trunks and doing this after being all this programming. They were able to overcome the programming to follow their true nature. That's astounding and amazing. Also, it's been filmed that there were a flock of nesting flamingos, you know, near the marshes of the beach. You know, shallows of the beach. And they started flying up the hillside in unison. And also a herd of buffalo, I guess they'd be water buffalo, right? Southeast Asia. They were stampeding uphill. And it said that some domestic animals, you know, broke free, tried to get out, and were running uphill. It's phenomenal, really, how animals are so in touch. They know without intellectualizing, all our scientific instruments cannot figure out what to do. But these animals know what to do. They're so in touch and so in tune. So imagine the wealth inside you that you don't even know is there in following this connection to nature, and the impulses that come through you are so much more trustable than your programming. You know, the programming is there from times past. There are unresolved issues. I remember my dad used to pour us like a half a glass of juice in the morning, and my mother would say, you know, Ken, we're not rationing anymore. You know, it was just programming that, you know, during the war there was rationing, and so he was still pouring like us half glasses of things, just, you know, without thinking. It's just programming from an experience of having to ration. And that was not the case in the morning, you know, in the 1950s and 60s, 70s. So these leftover programs don't really fit the current scenario. As a matter of fact, they don't fit it at all, but they do resonate with, you know, resonating with feelings of scarcity. For whatever reason, can bring up old programming. just the feeling itself is similar. The circumstance may not be at all, and that's why you can't figure it out, because there's nothing in the circumstance that may look like it. Or if there is something in the circumstance that does look like it, all the more the alarm bells go off. But that doesn't mean you need to go back to the past and do the old response, which is the automatic default. So we're bringing this all up to the light of our consciousness. I wanted to use the story of the elephants in Thailand at the time of the tsunami as the example for being true to our nature and following impulses. Of course, that's a very dramatic example, but it's a really fabulous one. And it's astounding how animals know how to heal themselves, how to take care of themselves under so many circumstances. They can come back into balance just by following these instinctual and intuitive impulses. They're in a flow. And we have that wisdom inside us when we are not trapped in our mind, in our thinking mind. Your thinking mind is not the place you get the clear yes or the clear no. That's not where the popcorn pops. The popcorn pops in your body. The popcorn pops as a whole. And your body responds like a resonator to the popping of the popcorn, to the yes or the no. In the meantime, what do you do in the meantime, right? This is the thing. When our awareness is trapped up in the thinking mind that's trying to figure it out and we don't have a yes or a no, you know what it does. It goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth between the two options, and it worries, right? That never brings the answer any closer. It never has, and it never will. So we're going to practice the alternative this evening into the resting curiosity of the mystery, the place where I don't know becomes I wonder, innocent curiosity, exploring, just exploring the possibilities and living in the question rather than ruminating, worrying, and chewing on it. When you have whole body awareness and you have this innocent wondering and curiosity, you know, think of very young children that are just exploring. And they don't need to know the answer. Without a needing to know the answer, they're just curious in the moment, exploring whatever is in their environment right there. And then think of, animals that express curiosity, of course, you know, puppies and kittens, but also adult animals, you know, otters and dolphins and seals and cats and dogs. I mean, they always... just your animal of choice, whatever that is, very aware, alert, and curious. In that open state, they don't need to know the answer. It'll come when it comes. And it's a wonderful place to hang out. Actually, where you used to worry and where you used to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, waiting, you know, the mind is waiting for the next thing to grasp onto, to say yes or to say no to, you know, a forced yes or a forced no, because it can't stand the unknown. That function doesn't belong in the driver's seat at all. The function that belongs in the driver's seat in between the yes and the no is this curious, open, innocent, joyful, true nature. That's what is there. It's a very present in the moment, whole body awareness. You can be very alert. You can be doing whatever you're doing, or you can be being at rest. So let's take a breath and just relax where you are. And let's practice at the moment what clear yes feels like. Clear yes. Think of a self-care activity. something. Let your body tell you something that it wants. And it doesn't matter if it's something you can, on a practical level, do in this next week. It's you still want it. You know, maybe it's, you know, getting a certain type of body work or massage or this or that. Whatever it is, doesn't matter how practical it is, let your body speak to you in sensation or an image, a body memory of something that felt so good before. And I'll take you through some possibilities, and you can just kind of come to a landing on one for now. Okay, through the sense of touch, obviously some kind of body work, you know, could be anything. Foot massage and pedicure could be body work of some type. It could be laying in a bath of, you know, Epsom salts or scented salts. It could be taking a short sun bath of some type. Being in the water, on the water, or feet in the sand or in the grasses. Or a walk amongst your favorite trees on your favorite path through the woods. It's something, somewhere, where you're getting a need met. So ask your body what it needs. Could be some type of food or cleanse. Could be a certain taste. So it's an environment or it's an experience, right? Something that you put into the body to take care of it, something that you experience with touch to take care of it, a balanced body balancing of some type. A nurturing activity, a nature activity, whatever it is, you are receiving. That's the key. You're receiving through your senses. Body is hungry and thirsty to receive nourishment through all of its senses on all levels for balance. We don't just get a little hunger pain when it's time to eat and then we eat and satisfy it. Really, you're getting these signals from your body all the time for environments, for experiences, for nourishment, a feast for the eyes perhaps, color. Self-care means listening to your whole body. So let's go through the body for a moment. This is how we experience a yes. So it's okay if you're in your mind a couple of two, three, four things have shown up. That's fine. Your body may have a lot of things it wants and needs. And let's just choose one. And if it switches during the exercise, that's fine. But just let yourself choose one for a moment. So it's being in a certain environment or having a certain experience, some kind of nourishment through your senses. So everybody choose one. Now we're going to take this through the body, just like we dropped that stone on, what was it, that second video, right? So you're going to say yes to this experience. Now, this doesn't mean you have to have this exact experience this next week. This is what's showing up now, We're going to take the quality of that experience through the body right now. So let's say it's some kind of massage. You know, what is it? It's opening, releasing, you know, deeply releasing and relaxing, deeply receiving. Right? So just imbue that into this imaginary, beautiful round stone, whatever the quality of receiving that is. That quality of receiving has a sound. It could sound like, ah. What sound do you make when you're having this experience? Is it just, you know, you're breathing that fresh air on your favorite nature walk? Or is it a kinesthetic experience? Your body worker is working with you and your spine is unwinding. Your body's opening. You're getting balanced and letting go. Okay, so take that quality and let's say yes to that quality and let's drop it through the top of the head. Say yes to this quality and this experience right now. Receive it. And you're all muted, so just go ahead and make a sound as it drops to the top of your head and you say yes to this experience. Ah. And down through the back of the eyes and say yes to this experience. I open to receive this experience, this or even better. And then down through the throat, opening the neck, be willing. I am willing to receive this experience, this or something better. Feel how much your throat, neck really is willing to receive the nourishment of this experience. And then down into the heart. Deep breath. Feel how much you love the experience. Oh, I'm allowing myself to receive this experience. I am loving myself through this experience. And just behind your shoulder blades, they open to receive. And it flows down your arms and out your hands. There's a posture to receiving. There's an attitude to receiving. There's an energy to taking in. And you're saying yes to it in your heart. And it's dropping now down to the solar plexus. Ah, fully take it in. I nourish myself with this experience. I digest this experience. And that sends it to every cell in your body. I am fulfilled. I'm full. Deep breath, and then it goes down into the belly, down into the lower back, down into the pelvis. I receive the sensuality of this experience. I take it in. I'm nourished sensually through this experience. Just feel your hips relax. You know, and down to the root chakra, all the way to the base of the spine, I open to receive this experience. Right? It's safe. To receive this experience is safe. Good. Good for my body, heart, and soul. Ah. And then just let it flow down through the legs, receive, and let it flow down through the legs and out the feet. Whole body, yes. An experience of this or something even better. Something with these qualities is right now on its way to you soon. Because what you vibrate with, you are resonant with. And you are attracted to it, and it's attracted to you. It's effortless. How about this for a new mantra? Gracious receiving is effortless. Take a breath. Gracious receiving is effortless. Let's tap that in. Top of the head, fingertips. Gracious receiving is effortless. And think of the quality that you want to receive, and then tap the forehead and the heart and the navel and the pubic bone. And then let's go with the other fingertips, other hand, tap the top of the head and forehead. I graciously receive the quality of, and all the way down the pubic bone. And shake out your hands. So just let that be for a moment. Yeah, we're coming up on Integration Week, and that's an opportunity to practice self-care, to catch up on any parts of the course that you like. It's really not about pushing yourself to do anything that you're supposed to do. Don't do the course in the way of, oh, I should catch up on the course, or I didn't see the last two videos, or whatever it is. Don't turn the course into a should. This is a space for you to come and let all that go. Just enjoy this. Just receive it. If you were able to take in the aspects here, a practice or two, a few ahas, and really apply them in your life fully, really embrace them in your own way, that would be such a shift. These deepening practices in your own way make the shift to checking in with yourself, to dropping into your core, doing conscious breathing. Okay, let's see where we are. We are at a place where we could, I'm going to let you come up a little bit, and we're at a place where we could do a few shares of your experience during the meditation, and or let's share some ideas of what kind of self-care we can give ourselves. What comes up for you? What kind of environments come up for you that are important, that are nourishing? What parts of nature are so essential? They're like food for you. What's the quality of nature that's so important to you? What's an experience that your body is saying yes to that you could honor? You know, schedule that appointment and receive that. So just let that come to you. And then I'll ask for a few shares, and you do that by pressing *6 and then 1. Let me know what comes up for you. And I have another aspect that I want to go into tonight as well. As far as the clear yeses and clear noes, I think I'll go ahead and start talking about that, and you can be percolating what you want to share in terms of what your clear yes feel like in your body, what's nourishing for you, and what you're going to give to yourself. Okay, so let's go on to making decisions, so-called making decisions. Think of a decision either something recent or something that's up now that may not be quite clear yet as far as whether to do it, when to do it, how to do it. You're not sure if it's a yes or a no. And this can be sometimes something recurrent, you know, whether or not to visit. I'll just share one of mine. I know somebody who is pretty much bedridden right now with very ill health, and the timing to visit her is always, you know, when she's able to receive visitors is not, you know, when I'm not at night, you know, when I'm home from work or whatever. So really making that intention to go and visit her at a time where I feel like I can really be present with her and it will be a valuable visit. Just trusting that it's the right time. Because it hasn't happened in the last, oh gosh, over 2-3 weeks. And it's on my mind. I definitely want to visit with her. So I'm in contact with her boyfriend and finding out, you know, what's the right time. Trusting that the moment will be exactly right when it appears. Be right for me, be right for her, that it will coincide. And, you know, it hasn't been right for 3 whole weeks. So just trusting that process, that's another unknown, uncertainty about her health condition and so on. And, oh, you know, I really want to be there for her. And yet whenever I'm available, she's not receiving visitors. When she's available, I'm not around. So just trusting and being in the flow of that. Does anybody have a situation where they're just being in that place of not knowing and trusting? And, you know, sometimes that can be a little uncomfortable. The discomfort of not knowing is one discomfort. There's another kind of discomfort, which is the discomfort of sometimes the should doing something and then getting an internal no. That can be very uncomfortable. Someone asks you to do something, they might really hope and want you to do something, and you're not getting a yes. You can have a contraction around a no. And it doesn't mean your no is incorrect. That does not mean your no is incorrect. But there's still like, the programming around the no is uncomfortable. There's a contraction around the no. So it's really important to be able to breathe into the no's until they become clear, until they become, till a no sounds as loving as a yes. I saw somebody recently that I hadn't seen in a long time, and they really wanted to get together this weekend, and it's not a possibility. So, you know, I just really practiced, you know, I knew she was disappointed because it'd probably be a long time before I would have an opportunity to see her again, you know, months probably. And I really practiced being present with her, looking into her eyes and saying, oh, I'm so sorry. I told her I have a self-care day on Sunday. And I just told her I'm in the middle of teaching this course and I have a self-care day on Sunday. I've had an incredibly busy March and so I really need this quiet time. I have a day to myself where I'm going to be doing meditation and yoga and just taking care of myself. And she heard it, and instead of, at first she was disappointed that I wouldn't be spending time with her on Sunday evening, I think it was. I don't remember now if it was Saturday or Sunday evening, but whatever it was. And then she said, wow, I really love that. What course is this? So she went from being disappointed that it wouldn't happen this weekend to being interested in the commitment to self-care. And I realized I had served her more by telling her the truth of my commitment to self-care than I had with a should visit that wasn't right for me at that time. Yeses and nos are huge. And I don't know about you, but I've often been more in touch with other people's needs than my own in the moment of asking, or in a social situation especially. I've been way more in touch with the clues and feelings of what the other person wants and needs than with my own wants and needs. So it just came up for me to practice it in that moment. Now, if I could have, you know, taken care of myself a different way, I would have been flexible to do it. But there just wasn't any way to do it in the time that we each had. The overlap wasn't going to work for either of us, really. So once again, you know, friendships, connections, being open to yeses and nos, that's vitally important to have clarity and to not to be rigid about it. You know, I have to be flexible about it. I can take care of myself. If I could have taken care of myself on Saturday and had a quiet day, I would have done it. But it's just not working that way this week. So honoring your own rhythm and honoring your needs and practicing putting yourself first is just, it's groundbreaking. It's groundbreaking. She became more interested in that than the visit this time. And that was really exciting to me, to make a stand for that and also to be in integrity, because it's what I'm teaching. And I had a lot of, I was super busy March. I had a lot of online trainings and other things to do. So I'm catching up with myself finally. Okay, deep breath. Does anybody have a sharing of something that they want to share from their meditation or their experience? What feels like a clear yes to you? Press *6 and 1. Anything from nature that you find nourishing that your body is telling you yes. And we have, hi Bonnie, you're live.
Hi, Hillary. First of all, I just want to say I love this last example that you gave about, you know, getting together with your friend and not and knowing that, you know, you didn't want to disappoint her, but at the same time, you know, it was such a good example. I mean, so many times for so many years, I've said yes to things that I knew weren't right for me, not even for the other person, just because I thought I should, you know. I'm not even as nice as you, but, and you know, it was always disastrous. So I just loved that example. I thought it was great.
Thank you.
And I just thought, oddly enough, I want to practice more of the conscious breathing, because I hardly do it, and I did it tonight, and it's the first time that I've been my whole body, like internally as well, has been so completely relaxed. And I mean, I've had spurts of it, like when you and I do private sessions and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's still relaxed, and I'm talking. I'm conscious. I'm not in the zone, if you will.
Yeah.
And there's just a spot in my body that holds tension like my whole life. It never relaxes, you know. And
yeah.
It's relaxed. So.
Really? That's wonderful. Do you mind sharing where that is?
Well, it's my colon, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's just, I've always, since I'm a child, you know. Yeah, it's just, it's fear, you know. It's some
sort
of fear-based thing, but I'm never without that tension there. So that's a really big share for me.
That is a really big share.
Really?
Not at all, Bonnie. You know what? That is so wonderful, because that's very root chakra, and it's very much about feeling safe in the body. When you can take that clear yes and that safety through your whole body all the way to the root chakra, And that's why I have people tap it in all the way, you know, to the pubic bone and visualize the quality through their body all the way through, is because we don't really bring our awareness very often, well, to the lower chakra sometimes, but to the root chakra. We don't give ourselves nourishment there. We don't think of spaciousness there, you know? And it's really important if we're going to have this opening through the whole body, like the hollow bamboo, and bring our conscious breathing and have whole body awareness. If we're going to have that resonation where we know if something's really right for us, the root chakra is where you connect with your life force. It's like the little pilot light at the base of the spine, and that's your right to exist, your right to be here. It's your, hey, I'm here, and I deserve to be here. And something about the deserving that, you know, we think of it as, oh, entitlement or this and that, but there's a natural deserving that animals have. Like, yeah, I'm here, you know, I'm present, I'm here, and they're fully here in their whole body. And when we're looking at them or touching, petting them or whatever, interacting with them, enjoying them, they bring that quality to us because human beings have pretty much lost it unless we're doing some kind of conscious practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you so much. I know you love connecting with animals. It's part of your thing,
yeah.
Your enjoyment.
Yep.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, that's really cool that tonight it went all the way through and it wasn't in a private session. It was just in the group session.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that surprising?
Yes, yes. And that, you know, it lasted so long.
Great, great. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Hillary.
Yeah, appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute her. Anybody else would like to share anything from their meditation experience of their clear yes, press star 6 and then 1. The qualities that you discover and the part of nature you connect with. What's your body telling you? Okay, we have a caller with the last 4 digits, 5051. You're live.
Hi, Hillary. It's Adrian. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, good. This was a wonderful, the whole class tonight was so on point for me. And it was interesting because I wasn't focusing on anything that I thought was going to come through. But what did was how trusting in the universe is such an amazing experience. So it's taken me forever to learn to do this on a more frequently.
Uh-huh.
So, and, you know, we're torn in so many ways, and there's so many things we want to be doing and need to be doing. I'm supposed to go to San Francisco to my daughter's store closing on Sunday in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't want to be going up there, but I have to go to support her. So I said, okay, I'm just going to trust in the universe. This is going to work out fine.
Mm-hmm.
And a new client called and is in desperate need of my services this weekend in San Francisco. So I was like, how perfect is this?
Oh, I bet that just released the whole feeling of, oh, yeah, you're on purpose. You're combining both those things.
Yeah, so just kind of trusting that it's going to be all right, that this is the right thing to, that doing this is okay if I let go of all the should and shouldn'ts part of it and just accept that it will be, in a good way. And then that happens. And it invariably happens that way. If I take my energy out of it, as far as saying I must or I should or I can't or I won't, if that goes away, then all the possibilities in the world open up to me. So
I love that. Then you're not in resistance to what is. You're saying, okay, so this doesn't seem, not sure how this fits. The contraction in the body doesn't mean, oh, you're not going to go. It doesn't mean that. It just means, right. Oh, there's something not in the flow here. And then you relaxed. You let it go without knowing the answer. That's the key. You just illustrated that so perfectly, Adrian. Thank you. Before you let it go before you knew what the answer would be.
Right.
It's like, I'm just going to trust. I don't know why this doesn't even seem to fit this weekend, but it's needed, and so I will respond to my daughter. You know, she has a need. I will respond. It doesn't seem to fit, but I'm going to trust. So you let go of the contraction before knowing what the outcome would be.
Which seems to be the way to do it for me anyway in most instances. Not the ones where you say, oh, there's something really wrong here. That's another story. But
that's a different feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, but with that contraction where you'd rather, but you would prefer not, but let it go and see what happens. And then something good comes out of it. Invariably, something good comes out of it. And it just...
Oh, thank you so much for sharing, because it doesn't, contraction doesn't mean that you shouldn't do what you're doing. Contraction means, okay, it's time to let go, open up, and see what comes.
And I think clarity comes from that, too. So if you let go, and then you get a really strong, no, this isn't the right thing, then it's easier. You find the graceful way to do it, like as you did with your friend.
Yeah.
Explaining to her. So the gracefulness comes in the no. When we let go of the resistance, I think.
Yeah.
I'm mumble jumbling words, but I hope that.
Oh, it's very clear. It's very clear. Trusting the universe. Trusting the universe is the primary yes.
Absolutely.
It's the primary yes, and it is indefinable. It's not something the mind could ever do. It's actually, we can't wrap our minds around how it's going to work. We need to unwrap our minds around figuring it out. It's not under that capacity. That's not the capacity that will ever assist us in the flow.
No, it's like the animal knowing.
It is. It's exactly like that.
The elephants know that that is going to happen and know that they must act on it. How do they know that there's some kind of trust that whatever they're feeling is appropriate and right? It's remarkable to me. Yeah, that trust in the universe. So, I do muscle testing and a veterinarian also did muscle testing at the beginning when I learned, and I used to say to her, how does this work? Because we get 100% validity with each other's testing all the time. And how does it work? And she would say, there's no way to rationally explain this. You just throw it out to the universe and the universe provides. And I think that's somewhat similar to this letting go and allowing the universe to
For the listeners, Adrienne's an animal communicator, and so she's really familiar with these stories and animal wisdom, and she also helps to bridge, humans having communication with their animals, and it's such a beautiful service to doing what you do. You need to have a lot of trust in the universe to do what you do.
Yes, it's kind of hard to explain otherwise.
It's hard to explain, but it's also, it's a field that's, just kind of coming into its own and into the public awareness, and there's a lot of curiosity about it. And so you're trying to explain these principles to people, basically, so that they can understand their animals.
Yes, well, you do it far better than I do as far as explaining. But thank you for providing the means for me to put a handle on some of this.
Oh, I'm thrilled if any of this can serve you in serving your clients, because you're so in the flow with that. And yeah, finding the words to use to as pointers to what this is all about and what we're doing. We both know it's really the energy underneath. It's the pointers. You know, they're just
right.
It's in the space between the words is what it is.
Space between the words, absolutely.
That's where all the communication really happens. So, oh, thanks, Adrian. I appreciate that. Yeah, okay. Anybody else like to share? Press star 6 and 1. Anything to do with your experience, what your nature connect was, the nourishment, a self-care practice that shows up for you? We have time for one more share. And we have Martha. Martha, you are live. Hello.
Hi, Hillary. It's Martha.
Hi. Good to hear you.
Yes. Thank you so much for this beautiful session and reflection. It was so interesting about, I love the story about Bali and the tsunami. I heard some of that, but that was, you know, it's so incredible about the animal instinct and the understanding of what's needed at the time.
Uh-huh.
But what I really wanted to share was just taking this opportunity to see what I needed at this time
mm-hmm.
in regards to self-care. And what came up for me was a silent retreat, which mm-hmm. I know that you're so good in taking your time on, I think especially Sundays. And I haven't, just with all the things in life, I haven't done a silent retreat for a while. And
mm-hmm.
what came up for me in the meditation was Vrajapani. And so I'm really committed to booking a silent retreat.
Wow, wonderful. Tell the listeners what Vrajapani is. We both live in Central California, so
yeah,
tell.
Well, it's in Boulder Creek, and it's a it's a Buddhist retreat center, but they actually have 6 cabins up on a bluff above the actual temple area. And I found out about it because Ajashanti, that's where he would go for silent
uh-huh.
retreats. And I've been there several times, and you just book this tiny little cabin, and they bring the food for you. But the whole area where they have these 6 cabins is completely silent. So it enables one to really contemplate life without
uh-huh.
any disturbances, and they bring, nice vegetarian food up for you. So, and I've done it several times, but I haven't done anything this year. So I'm very excited, and I was just looking at my calendar, and this evening I'm going to book, a 3 or 4 day retreat up there. So thank you for that.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did your body like that when you made that commitment?
Oh, I could feel the shoulders dropping.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, really, our body says, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's such gratitude. It's a wonderful feeling to come into, I call it whole body awareness, but what it really is awareness in, through, and around the body. It's the energy body. It's the subtle body. It's the physical body. Everything coming into harmony. It's the whole instrument mm-hmm. of the body, mind, and heart just humming. It's humming with joy when we listen to it, when we care for it. When we follow through,
yeah.
when
yeah.
the mind is, we have, Martha and I have this joke, when the mind isn't the engine, that pulls the train, when the mind isn't mm-hmm. in the front car, it's the caboose, when it's
yeah.
following, right, on our, when
yeah.
we're on track, The mind is more like the caboose. You know, it's helping us follow through, make the plan, make the appointment, make the call. But it's not the one making the decision. There's a much higher intelligence in the heart and the body. The spirit is communicating through the heart and body. And the mind kind of picks it up last. The leader is really the heart and the body. The body knows the difference between your clear yes and clear no. And it also knows the comfort of playing in the mystery of wondering. I want to leave the callers into our integration week with some inquiry. Remember from our that video where we're dropping the stone through the body, we're asking a question on that video, picking one quality. I wonder what the quality of ease feels like. I wonder what is ease, and you ask it from these different centers. So what you can do with these clear yeses and clear nos, if you're not getting them and you're just, you know, find yourself worrying, spinning your wheels, or just not getting answers, is to choose a nourishing quality of nature and drop it through the body in playful, innocent, joyful curiosity. Drop it through the lake of the body and ask the question, I wonder. And it can be also, I wonder how much rest I can experience today. You know, I wonder how much presence I can walk in today, you know, or right now. It's actually fun when you think of like a curious, playful animal like an otter, a seal, a dolphin, or your dog or something. You know, just look into their eyes and say that question and just see them looking back at you like, I wonder how much play I can experience right now, you know, or today. And give yourself that gift. That's going to be on a handout in the members page this week. Will be just the recording and the excerpt of the meditation and a handout with some prompts of these inquiry questions to take into your self-care week. So it will be a choice for what kind of self-care you're going to give yourself. And then we'll have the prompts where you fill in the blank and you take that quality through your body into your self-care week. How does that sound?
Wonderful.
Great. I'm going to thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to unmute the lines for everyone. Yeah. Gosh, I'm just so amazed at how fast the time goes by. Okay, hold on. Unmute. Let's see. Okay, everybody's unmuted. So before we sign off tonight, how was that meditation for you all?
Wonderful.
Oh, it was great. Great.
Thank you.
So glad you enjoyed it.
Lovely.
Thank you, Hillary.
Wonderful to connect with you all. I'm so enjoying the class. I hope you're all enjoying it as much as I am. Okay, blessings and blessings and good night. And our next class will be on, let's see, April. It's not next week is our integration week. I just have to look up the date here really fast. Okay, so that means the next one is the 22nd. And, of course, you will get your emails. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Hillary. Thank you.